Hello and welcome back to the Smashy Business Show again on a Tuesday morning. I am Farah Bashir and joining me is...
And I'm Warid Ahmed.
Well, we have a lot of things to cover for you today, but before we start all of that, how are you? How's your morning?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Well, all good. What do you think of business so far since your internship is going to be heading to an end?
I've loved it. I've really loved it.
Interesting. Well, before we start with the details of all of our stories, I'm going to give you guys a quick roundup of our headlines. So a historic move, UAE grants first license for national lottery in legal gambling. Middle East Airlines as well delayed some flights to Beirut from Sunday to Monday. And Mall of the Emirates is getting a $44.9 million upgrade to cut commute times, which honestly... It's music to our ears if you live in Dubai, and we kept, you know, the best for last. So let's start with our stories for today. As we said, the UAE is granting first license for national lottery and legal gambling. So under these new rules, operations must obtain license from the newly formed General Commercial Gaming Regulatory Authority, GRA, which will enforce stringent guidelines to ensure transparency, fair play, and responsible gambling practices. It's very interesting to know this. Of course, we knew a long time ago that it used to be not quite allowed in the UAE. However, yeah. The UAE is now allowing it under a lot of rules and regulations to ensure that it's as safe as Dubai and the UAE
is. Not your typical gambling.
Literally, it's not your typical gambling. If there is anyone that is going to be, let's say, practicing fraud, they will be called out. And of course, the police will be involved in this. So the initial license has been awarded to the Game LLC, marking its entry under the UAE lottery brand, while major casino developments are anticipated with potential venues like Wynn at Al Marjan Island leading the way. We've heard about this casino in the making for a while
now.
It's in Iraq, and of course it's been all over the news. It's very new for the UAE. So regarding that, the players are required to engage only with licensed operators and use self-exclusion tools, reflecting a commitment to responsible gaming and effective management of gambling activities. Which, let me say, this is very impressive thinking about that. And as well, it's just like, I think it will attract a lot of tourism and real estate.
Yeah, that's for sure. For sure. According to the GMI, the UAE now stands at a 11.06 million expat population.
Exactly.
So it's really going to accommodate to the influx of expatriates that are coming to the UAE.
Exactly.
But more than that, I think this is really interesting because gambling used to happen anyways. This is just here to regulate it.
Exactly, because you know what? They want to provide that to all of the tourists that come to the UAE, and let's say they want to live the, let's say, the Ras Al Khaimah vibes, right? Or the UAE life. It's like, okay, fine, you can do that, but here are the rules and regulations. Anyways, as well, it's not only tourism and real estate, it's not only going to be broadening the tourism and economic impact, it will as well increase the revenue generation. Because right now, the UAE is at 1.6% of the UAE's GDP was based on gaming, as it is in Singapore. It used to be in Singapore. However, of course, this will be increasing the GDP and the economy of the UAE. And we all the time hear the UAE's economy and GDP and IPO all the time increasing in all matters.
And it's definitely a step forward towards legalizing casinos and any kinds of gaming that expatriates are open to or even locals.
Exactly. And the fact... maybe this is going to be better and more things will be happening and opening up in the UAE, which is just like, I would say, very exciting.
Yeah.
What is one thing that you would look forward to opening up in the UAE? That you would wish that they would open up? Like, for example, like, I would want Disneyland to be here in the UAE, but we do have all of the... you know, theme parks like IMG, we have like Warner Brothers.
It could be any store. Any store. Uniqlo.
Anything.
I want Uniqlo in the UAE.
Uniqlo, tell us about that.
Yeah, because they create, you know, very affordable clothing, mm-hmm. and it's also created with really good materials. Yeah. So I'd really want it to be in the UAE.
That's actually very interesting. You know what, actually, because like they are opening up to everything. So in terms of experiences, I would love to have an experience of bungee jumping. That would be interesting.
That like, is here, though. You can
not bungee jumping into like you know a lake or something like that. Or maybe I've never seen it. I don't know. Could be there. Like there's skydiving. Yes, there is parasailing and all these things. However, of course, you know, like as we said, the UAE is opening up to a lot of opportunities, which because the UAE is aware of the fact that tourists are coming in, and the economy is increasing, and tourism is increasing, and all of these things are increasing, and the economy is increasing as well.
Yeah.
So they will want to feed their tourists and citizens.
That's true, and you know, also the fact that. You know, gambling, it's going to become legal. I think this mm-hmm. is such a great testament to the diversification
yeah.
that is prevalent in the UAE because gambling, according to Sharia law,
yeah,
is haram.
That's true.
Yes, it's haram. And we can see that with now there being legal gambling, this is just a step forward towards them diversifying the country more.
Of course, you know, because like, you know, as the UAE, they cannot just be like, yeah, fine, that's haram. We cannot do that. But because they are aware of the fact that they have a lot of tourists coming in, and those tourists, of course, tourism in the UAE is the most important thing, and it's as well. It has increased by 9% in the UAE. You know, of course, it's very subject to change. However, of course, it will only get better. And I would say the image of tourism in the UAE would increase to be better through opening up such opportunities such as gambling, of course. And they decided to regulate it to make sure that it's not done in a way that can scam anyone. Well, let's jump to our next story. So the Middle East Airlines delayed some flights to Beirut from Sunday to Monday. If you guys don't know, well, the MEA, Middle East Airlines, announced the delay of some returning flights to Beirut from the evening of July 28, 2024 to the morning of July 29. And in a statement, MEA said that 6 flights incoming to Beirut overnight from London, Copenhagen, and 4 other cities in the Middle East would be delayed so that they would instead take off on Monday morning. And later on, the airline announced the flight changes at Beirut International Airport were due to insurance risks and published the rescheduled flights. The airline also indicated that passengers booked exclusively on the above-mentioned flights can change their reservation once for free. Which, let me say that all of these things just maybe keep me in the question of like what is the technical issue that happened?
The technical issue that happened, mm-hmm. well, actually recently Israel has announced plans for retaliation after a rocket attack from Lebanon resulted in 12 deaths in Golan Heights. Mm-hmm. So I would say that the airlines, they are taking this risk into consideration
mm-hmm,
because
exactly.
they have said that yes. they will hit the enemy hard and
that
they will
true.
Pay the price.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And as well, according to Reuters, they are just afraid of, as you said, Israel attacking the flight and therefore, of course, putting the risks of the passengers at high risk. However, yeah. they decided to go for the... They did not really say that it's because of Israel. They specifically said that it's because of technical issues, which everyone knows, you know, it's not true. The situation in Lebanon politically is not the best right now. Of course, that's all due to what's happening with the genocide in Gaza and Hezbollah and all of these political parties there. So if we want to maybe swap away from politics, we can talk about the compensation that they will be providing, you know, hope because everyone, if your flight gets delayed,
yeah,
and
that's
it
for sure.
is a lot of, I would say, it's very hectic. So the compensation amounts that are structured as follows for €250 for flights up to 1,500 kilometers and for €100 for flights between 1,500 and and 3,500 and as well 600 euros compensation for flights over 3,500 kilometers, which I must say that this is, would you say that this is a good compensation for a flight that got delayed? That they mentioned it's because of a technical issue. However, because for people who live in Lebanon know that it's because of something political. Do you think it's fair?
I think it's a reasonable compensation. Mm-hmm. I think in the end of the day, these airlines, they're trying to look out for people's safety. Mm-hmm. And that's very important, other than the obvious effect that, you know, these canceled flights will cost the airline companies a lot. You know, these airlines, they'll also have to revisit their insurance and their risk management strategies mm-hmm. to ensure that, you know, they can go to areas of conflict and people can travel safely.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because, you know what, they are just like fearing of the Israeli flag, and as well Hezbollah denied any responsibility for the attack. Of course, the deadliest Israeli attack that happened on Israeli annexed territory since Hamas on October 7. And Hezbollah denied it all. So, of course, if we would want to talk about that, I would get into politics and it would very excite me because I really love politics. So, which is, I would say that this is a very smart move for, you know, for canceling the flights, and it's better to be safe than sorry. However, we don't want to get and dive deep into politics. Let's go to our next story, which brings us home and to Dubai. One of the Emirates gets a $44.9 million upgrade to cut commute times. Commuting to one of the Emirates is said to be more efficient as RTA, Dubai Roads and Transport Authority, teamed up with Majid Al Futtaim Group to enhance and expand the mall's entrances and the adjacent roads with a total of investment, as you said, $44.9 million, which equals to 165 million dirhams. That is a lot. So the upgrade includes a 300-meter single lane bridge on Sheikh Zayed Road, offering direct access to the mall parking from Abu Dhabi and to and Jabal Ali, as well reducing travel time from 10 minutes to just 1 minute. Honestly, 10 minutes is really, I would say, convenient.
Yeah,
because
it really is.
On the road, you guys, I swear, you can maybe 10 minutes might be like, okay, it's not that much of a big deal, but
it is that
over
big of
time,
a,
exactly, it is.
And, you know, especially for people who work in the mall like me, mm-hmm. you know, I've had various times where I've reached my shift late because mm-hmm. of the fact that, you know, the roads are limited to get direct entry into the mall. And, you know, it's also very busy. So the
exactly,
fact that we're going to have a new road, this is amazing. You know,
100%.
It's not just accommodating for people who want to visit
Agreed.
The mall, but the people themselves who work in the mall.
I agree with you. And as well, by the way, not only that, you know, since you go by public transportation, right?
Yeah.
So if you want to talk about the implementation details of this, I would say, grand upgrade for Mall of the Emirates, is that as well there would be modification of the bus station. So the bus station will undergo alterations to streamline operations and improve accessibility for passengers, which includes potentially redesigning the layout to facilitate smoother boarding and alighting process, which I must say that this should be very convenient.
Yeah, it is going to be convenient because when you actually stand and you wait for mm-hmm. the RTA bus to come, these areas, you know, they're not air conditioned. It's mm-hmm. very hot, especially now in the summer. And, you know, when there's an influx of people that's extremely large, you know, you're all just standing there together waiting for the bus. You know, it's mm-hmm. busy, it's cramped, it's hot.
Yes.
So this is really quite amazing if they can get, you know, air conditioned stations for people to wait at the bus for.
Speaking of that, regarding the what can we expect? You know, what are enhancements that can be done to the bus stations? Improved layout. So the bus station will be redesigned to facilitate smoother passenger flow, potentially including better boarding and alighting areas, as I mentioned earlier, and as well integration with road improvements. So changes will coincide with the construction of the new bridge and enhanced road access, which should streamline bus operations and reduce congestion, and as well enhance safety features, accessibility upgrades, and as well real-time transfer information displays, which I would say is very convenient for people who do use the bus station as a way to commute to the mall, as you do yourself. So how would you rate your experience right now using the bus to commute?
The RTA bus?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd give it a 7. I'd give it a 7 because the bus inside, you know, it's very nice. It's very air conditioned. It's very comfortable. Mm-hmm. However, there is always room for improvement.
100% agreed with you. Well, you know what? As these improvements are going to be happening, please let me know how it goes. Let me know how it goes, and I will be
hopefully by then I'll be driving.
Yes, hopefully.
Hopefully by then I'll be driving.
Hopefully. Well, you guys, let's all wish with a happy and easy drive through the RTA bus to her work and her job. So, you guys, this brings us to the end of the show. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me today.
And thank you all for tuning in. Don't forget, we go in podcast form, and as well, don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter.